living in the shadow of Rome. Who among us chose empire? Of the millions of Americans who were actually allowed to cast their vote, who among that number actually voted in favor of a foreign policy that required armed Americans to fashion another nation in America's image? Who among that admittedly limited number voted to make the Americans the makers of princes in lands where most people speak a language unknown to the vast majority of Americans? In the earliest days of the American Republic, when a tight, nervous knot of men, for they were all men, met in Philadelphia in the late 1770s, they had before them two examples that drew their admiration and emerged as models of what form of government this new nation would adopt, Rome and Britain. For two of the delegates, Messrs. James Madison of Virginia and John Dickinson of Delaware, these two examples were most attractive. Madison wanted a Roman-style Senate, but with popular elections. Dickinson wanted a Senate more like the British House of Lords, elected not by the people, but by state legislatures. Dickinson won, and it was over a century before the people would be allowed to vote for their representatives. So much for democracy, huh? The point is that two examples loomed large in the American mind at the very beginning. Both were global empires. Why didn't Americans look to ancient or even native-born, that is, Indian, democracies? They didn't want democracy. They wanted to build a state that protected their wealth and privilege, but seemed to be democratic. That's why it took until 1912 for Americans to vote for their representatives with the Seventh Amendment. That's why today, in the year 2003, there is not a constitutional right to vote. If you doubt this, remember the election of 2000, when Bush v. Gore was decided. If you recall, there were perhaps tens of thousands of people who were disenfranchised from voting. The courts have been largely silent on this grave usurpation. That's because they know there is no direct constitutional right to vote. It's a state right protected by state statutes, state courts, and state constitutions. The Supreme Court decided Bush v. Gore not based on the constitutional rights of the citizens to vote, but on equal protection under the 13th and 14th Amendments. How deliciously ironic that the constitutional amendment, which was designed to protect the constitutional rights of black Americans newly freed from 244 years of bondage, would be instead the tool used to usurp their right to vote in Florida and justify the judicial usurpation of the political process to install the bottom half of the Bush dynasty. We are, all of us, subject to the autocratic whims of an imperial state that seeks to jettison every semblance of any constitutional protection that is promised by the Bill of Rights. We live in a judicial, military, media dictatorship, which, like its predecessors in England and Rome, professes to speak for the people while protecting and enriching the class that placed it on the throne. In imperial Rome, the Senate and the emperors kept Rome engaged in endless wars on the frontier to keep the army away from ideas of seizing control of the lush, wealthy city. For ancient Romans, anyone who wasn't Roman was seen as a barbarian. The current term of art is terrorist. The U.S. Empire bombs thousands, doesn't bother to count the dead, and yet lashes out at retail bombers as terrorists. The media, enjoying the spoils of empire, you know, good ratings, joins the fun by praising the wisdom and goodness of the emperor and his troops. Those who question this martial wisdom are denounced as traitors and run from their businesses or professions. Yet we are assured this is a war to bring democracy to other people. America is drunk on the wine of empire, and like Rome, cannot see the precipice that looms before it, the pride that cometh before the fall. From death row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.